Good evening, Lehigh Valley. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening. And as you gather from the theme song, we talk about business generally during this Lehigh Valley Discourse presentation. And tonight, I'm really excited to have someone with us who's been on the show before, but we're going to get an update from Don Cunningham, who is President and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. And Don has, boy, he's been doing an awful lot the last couple years, but Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation has had the Lehigh Valley recognized nationally, regionally, globally. I mean, it's all over the place, and we're going to find out exactly what that means and how that's done, as well as many other things that are facing the Lehigh Valley today. So, Don, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here, Sally. Nice to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And as I was thinking about, you know, I know probably all the listeners know who Don Cunningham is, but I'm thinking, okay, I met Don as a councilman years ago. Then he was mayor, right? And then he went to the State Department of General Services under Rendell.
Yes.
And he came back as Lehigh County Executive. And now since 2012, you've been the executive of LVEDC.
Yeah, I always joke I can't really keep a job.
So yeah, I think you've done pretty well. Well, you know, the other aspect, too, and I don't know if our listeners know, you were a reporter back in your very early ages. You're a Moravian grad.
No, I worked at Moravian. I was director of media relations and marketing at Moravian College in the early 90s, but I'm a state school grad. I graduated with a journalism degree from Shippensburg University with a minor in government.
Okay.
And then a poli-sci master's degree at Villanova University.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All new news to
me,
too.
Well, no, a lot of people think I went to Moravian because, you know, I worked at Moravian.
Yeah. Well, all that writing and background and has been perfect for what you're doing here at LVEDC, because not only are you running the organization, but you're also putting a lot in print all over the place.
Yeah, I get a chance now that, you know, now that I got some gray hair coming in to talk to a lot of young people about skills and careers and, you know, learning how to write and communicate succinctly and quickly and get to the point is a skill that it was invaluable in my career. I only spent 3 and a half years as a working journalist, but the training in writing and even more so thinking and summarizing and condensing was critical all throughout my career. And I encourage a lot of people who aren't even going to be journalists, like, to develop those skills. It's amazing how many people you see in the business world who can't really get to the point.
I've been in a few of those meetings.
Yeah. But, you know, you talked about Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation, which we're celebrating our 22nd year now of creation. We're created back in 1995. And really the core reason that LVEDC exists is to tell the story of the Lehigh Valley, to talk about the economic assets here, and most importantly, to do it in a regional way, to get away from, you know, 20 years ago, this place was extremely parochial. If you lived in Easton, you didn't go to Bethlehem. If you lived in Bethlehem, Allentown,
you packed your lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and now look at where we are in 2017. We all still have our allegiances and our high schools and our towns, and that's great, and our preferences of cities, but we function now more as people of the Lehigh Valley. And that vision back in the mid-90s to move the valley that way has been incredibly important in our success. And our core job is to communicate what we're about, not in a fluffy PR way, because you can't fool businesses, right? They make hard decisions based on core things like, is the workforce there? Is the infrastructure there? Is the schooling there? You know, does the community have the assets? You either have them or you don't.
Correct.
So we talk about the core assets of the Lehigh Valley, and then we work to try to improve the things that are deficient.
Right. And it's been amazing the way that story has just evolved over the last 5 years under your leadership. I think before that we were a little disjointed in some of the things that the Lehigh Valley stood for, but I think it's sort of come together much more nicely.
It's really kind of, thank you for kind words to me. I just think the Lehigh Valley is just, you know, as I always say, I'm a homer. I was born and raised in Bethlehem. My kids are fifth generation in Bethlehem, and my family's been here, so I love the place, and most of my work and service has been right here. And I really think that there's a unique asset about the Lehigh Valley, and a lot of that is because we're authentic. I always say to folks is we're not a suburb of anywhere. We're our own place.
Right.
You know, we have our own character.
Despite what Philadelphia thinks.
Yeah. Despite what Philadelphia thinks. And we have our own character, our own uniqueness, authenticity of place. And that's what attracts people and attracts companies.
Well, and, you know, when you talk about resources and assets, I mean, was it the Gartner study that they did years ago that talked about what our assets were that we should be able to promote?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I didn't realize or I took for granted was our access to water.
Yes.
That we are bountiful in our water, and you go to other areas of the country, other areas of the state, don't have that asset like we do.
And, you know, some of that, those things, those underpinnings of water and sewer services, roads, you know, land, buildings, training and education, those are the key reasons why companies either stay and not move away or come. And water is a key one that most people don't think about. Right. Some of it we're blessed because of where we are in the northeastern part of the United States. But a lot of it is our history. Like here in Bethlehem, Bethlehem has one of the best water systems you're going to find across the country. And the reason for that really is Bethlehem Steel. I mean, when the plant was operating and they needed a supply of upwards of, at one time, 2-3 million gallons a day, the steel company helped the city in purchasing, you know, 15,000 acres of protected watershed up in the Pocono Mountains and then building 35 miles of water mains to bring that water down, and then literally building a dam and damming up two mountain streams. I mean, if you're on the Bethlehem water system, you are literally coming out of the tap as mountain spring water that is dammed up and brought down. And obviously when Bethlehem Steel went away, even though there's been tremendous economic growth in Bethlehem replacing that, there's still a lot of capacity on that water system because it was built for such a large purpose. And that's true in other pockets around the Lehigh Valley, is our history has given us a nice pathway for our future.
Yeah, and we've had the entrepreneurial spirit to be able, I think, to sort of have that vision, because there are a lot of areas that don't know what to do with things like that. But, I mean, I just look at LVIP, the Lehigh Valley Industrial Parks, that back in the 50s.
Late 50s, yeah.
Yeah, that there a few of our community leaders had that vision and were entrepreneurial and, you know, this is what we need to do for the future, because even though Bethlehem Steel was you know, riding high at that point, they sort of foresaw that things might change.
Right. And, you know, at that time, people, you know, don't realize, though, because the steel industry, while it was riding high, would have peaks and valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go through layoffs if there were downturns in consumption of steel or pricing would drop. So the plant would lay people off. And a lot of business leaders at the time thought, maybe we ought not have all of our eggs in one or two baskets, and we ought to diversify and build some space for mixed use development. And, you know, that's really the core strength of the Lehigh Valley economically right now. And what's really different from 20 years ago or 30 years ago is our diversified economic base.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at our GDP, our economic output, what the federal government measures as the, you know, the net of all the goods and services produced, we have four sectors that are all within, our total GDP is $37 billion, but we have four sectors that are all within a couple hundred million dollars of one another, which is and manufacturing is the largest, which a lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's something that we can't talk about enough, because, you know, you look at the storyline even of this last presidential election, and where a lot of the focus is nationally is the lack of manufacturing in America. And that's not true, really. That storyline's not true across all of America, but it's certainly not true here. It's just a different kind of manufacturing. But the Lehigh Valley's number one economic output is manufacturing. It's not number one in jobs, because it takes fewer workers to make products today because of automation and technology.
Correct.
And there's more productivity out of machines. It's not as labor intensive, but we still have 34,000 people working on the aggregate in manufacturing, which is our third largest in jobs. Healthcare is the
first.
Healthcare is number one in jobs.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah. Let's talk about this fact that we've got sort of this even sort of high GDP, because isn't that part of the reason that we were listed as number five in the region?
Northeast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the last year, Site Selection Magazine, which is kind of the premier magazine of the folks in the economic development world that actually work for companies to place them.
Okay.
Site selectors are often also called location advisors. They are ones that get hired by companies to advise them on decisions to where to go, where to be. They do an annual ranking of all 50 states. And then the top 350 metro regions across the country in terms of how much growth have they had in dollars, in jobs. So it's a hard measure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a subjective, you know, we like this area better than that area. And every year at the end of the year, they put out a full listing of the country. And in 2016, Site Selection Magazine listed the Lehigh Valley is the fifth fastest growing, largest growing region in the northeastern United States. And when you look at who the first four are, it's New York City, it's Boston, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and then the Lehigh Valley. So most people don't realize it who just live here and they're driving. Maybe they do. They realize that the roads are a little more crowded.
A little more congested these days, yeah.
You know, that this market, which is only the third largest market in Pennsylvania, but interestingly, that translates to the fifth largest market in the northeastern United States.
That's incredible. So Philadelphia isn't among those top five?
No, Philadelphia is. Oh, it's New York, Boston, Philly, and Pittsburgh.
Philly and Pittsburgh.
Actually, Pennsylvania has three
of the
markets. And what really has emerged in Pennsylvania in large part is that with the rise of the Lehigh Valley and the growth in the Lehigh Valley, you have really three dominant economic markets in Pennsylvania. Obviously, Philly's in its own league, and then Pittsburgh and in the Lehigh Valley.
Okay.
And those are often when I'm out recruiting companies, speaking at conferences, telling our story, those are the only three areas in Pennsylvania that are kind of out there with the resources to do that.
Okay, and you were just in New York not long ago presenting to a group.
Yeah.
I sort of saw the headline. I don't remember exactly what it was, but was it folks like the site selectors or decision
makers?
Well,
what that group was, and you know, it's interesting now, in my first couple years as we were kind of putting this program, this strategic plan together for LVDC, we used to really have to kind of beg, borrow, and steal to get a spot at a national
I remember those
conference.
Days, yeah.
and you were there, part of it on the board, you know. Today, what's happening is we regularly get invitations to come and address different groups. The group you're mentioning in New York was a group of really money people, investors, that were looking at investing in growth. And they did a session on – it actually was really cool because it was at the New York Athletic Club right across from the park and wonderful old building, and they featured in the afternoon what they called a fireside chat, and they actually had this big old room with a fireplace in it.
Did you feel like FDR? Or what?
Yeah. They had a business and economics writer from the New York Times, and they picked two communities that were examples of growing manufacturing, sustained manufacturing in the United States. It was us.
Interesting.
And it was this region of northeastern Indiana. 11 counties in northeast Indiana. So myself and my counterpart from there and the New York Times writer, you know, talked about manufacturing in the United States, mid-size, you know, community manufacturing, how you can attract it, how it grows, and why it doesn't. And it was a really great talk. And it was just an example of, you know, another group. And I was just deluged afterwards with interest about the region. And obviously also a lot of Lehigh University grads who were
In New York, yeah.
Working in New York and finance, and were really curious about, well, that's great to hear what's going on back, you know, back home. And it's been fun.
Good. Mm. Well, another area that I thought was pretty interesting that happened just recently as well is there was a big kickoff because of American Airlines featuring the Lehigh Valley.
Yeah.
Wow, what a...
It's been quite a year.
Yeah. I mean, the first half of the year, I'm going to take something from Colin McElvoy, but, you know, it's been a memorable year just in the first 6 months of 2017.
It's been busy. It used to be like there were peaks and valleys in the, you know, the cycle of going to talk to at different conferences and doing recruitments, and now it's just constant, but it's a very good thing. So this is a really cool one. If anybody out there is flying on American Airlines in July, international flights or domestic flights, the In-Flight magazine, which is really a first-rate magazine, is called American Way. Eight times a year, they have a different issue every month, but eight times a year they choose to spotlight a region in the United States. And they selected, we'd been trying for a while to put ourselves in front of them, and they finally came around to selecting the Lehigh Valley as of being worthy of this feature, which is 24 pages. This is not like one article.
Not one page.
It's not one page. It covers every aspect of the Lehigh Valley. And this is not a advertorial. You don't pay to get your way in. This is a straight editorial product. They send writers in, we contributed, you know, facts and information and helped with data support, but they control 100% of the content, the features, you know, who they interview, and they produce this 24-page section that, you know, we're purchasing. They're allowing us to purchase at their printing cost, which just tells the story, the current story of the Lehigh Valley, and what's amazing about this is partly because of the decline of print publications, that American Airlines magazine is the third highest ranking read magazine for business leaders. The first is Forbes.
Okay.
The second is United Airlines magazine, because they have a tick more business passengers, I guess just the way their routes break down.
Yeah.
And then American Airlines. So 10 million travelers in the month. They estimate 5 million readers, because some people, you know, traveling multiple times, that will be exposed to what I, you know, what I call the real Lehigh Valley, the current Lehigh Valley. And it's not a promotional piece. It's a news piece, but you couldn't come away from it without saying, oh, man, this place is amazing. And, you know, they don't feature many communities. The other ones this year to be featured were Memphis, St. Louis, Dallas, Fort Worth.
Okay.
So it's really good company for us to be recognized at the level of.
Yeah, there was a time where in among that group that, you know, it was the Triangle of North Carolina and some other things that would get recognized and not the Lehigh Valley.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is really, we have just crossed over, I think, into being recognized nationally as a region worthy of that level of categorization. I mean, by population, the Lehigh Valley is the 68th largest metro in the United States. So a lot of people don't realize that by population, we're a top 70 metro. Obviously, in other categories, we rank much higher than. When you look at manufacturing as a part of economy, in the last 3 years, we've been in the top 13% of the country. And, you know, some of that's indicative of, you know, manufacturing dropping off in some places. And really what's happening in American manufacturing a lot is you're seeing clustered into sectors. You know, you want to go back 100 years, 50 years, manufacturing was kind of sprawled out around every town and village and hamlet. You know, there was a little factory where at the bend of the river, where the canal was. And today it's clustered in areas with access to market.
Right. The roadway, the whatever.
Yeah.
Listeners, we're going to be taking a short break, but I'm sure you're going to want to come back and hear the rest of what Don is going to be sharing. I'm with Don Cunningham, President and CEO of LVEDC. And after this short break, we'll be back. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me is Don Cunningham, President and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. And before the break, we were talking about some of the major I guess, highlights or promotions that LVEDC, the Lehigh Valley, has been has been getting this past year. One of the things that has been extremely interesting to me is how we've been able to capture some international attention as well. And I know maybe 2 years ago, you and Jared went on a trip over to Europe, which was like, what day is it?
one of those, you know, pack the suitcase. In Europe with CEOs,
Right, and that resulted in a number of inquiries that came back.
And a couple actual projects, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, we're continuing that. I see that Matt went to China. Matt Turk
was just in China. We, as some folks may realize, we're the only spot in Pennsylvania that is home to a Chinese-owned manufacturer.
Okay.
About 4 years ago, we worked on competed for, which was a 7-state recruitment that we won of a Chinese plastics manufacturer called Fuling, which make plastic flatware for the fast food industry, major supplier to American fast food chains, Target, Walmart, the kind of stuff you buy for your picnic with your knives and forks and spoons, and also grab at the Wendy's or the Burger King. But the amazing thing there was that, you know, it's a reversal of what has been the storyline of jobs going to China, to Asia, for cheap labor manufacturing with certain products, not with all products, but with certain products because of automation and technology and a reduction of the number of people it takes. If it's not a completely labor-intensive manufacturing process, the U.S. is very competitive to get those jobs back. And part of the reason of that is that you're obviously cutting out the whole transportation supply line of moving goods, particularly if they're lightweight goods. The cost of making that in Asia, bringing it into the United States, is the delta becomes close enough that we can be attractive for reshoring some of this manufacturing. Again, not all of it. It's not all going to come back. But so we worked hard on the Fuling recruitment, won them. They've since been growing. They're in Upper Macungie in Lehigh County. And part of the reason that I wanted to go so hard after that was that just as patterns of people immigration kind of follow the first wave.
Correct.
We felt very strongly that we're at the cutting edge of this possible reshoring of Chinese or Asian manufacturing back to the U.S., and has proven to be the case. We have right now two very strong leads from other Chinese manufacturers that, because Fuling's in our market and have already trailblazed that way, there's a comfort level with us, and we've focused a lot on, we've translated all of our materials into Mandarin. Matt Turk, who is our Vice President of Development and Marketing, as you mentioned, Sally, went over to China and visited with about 8 to 10 different companies in 3 different provinces and was on a whirlwind tour. We were just recently down in Washington, D.C. for Select USA, which is the foreign direct investment effort of the United States government, where we were featured on the Fuling story about attracting Chinese manufacturing and how we did it and why. And Gilbert Lee, who's the CFO of Fuling, spoke about, you know, coming into the United States. And you know, success kind of begets success in this arena. And the reality is, contrary again to what a lot of people may think, is that European companies, Asian companies and South American companies, everybody wants access to the U.S. consumer market because we are the largest consumer economy in the world. And particularly now with some of the uncertainty created by the new administration around trade and tariffs and barriers, a lot of these companies have actually increased interest to make sure they've got a foothold,
a presence
in the U.S. So some of the Trump rhetoric, even if it's indirect and twisted, is kind of having a somewhat of a positive, and I don't mean his rhetoric, but I mean the pathway in is, you know, we've seen an increased interest in foreign-based manufacturers that want to have an outpost in the U.S. because of the uncertainty about what may happen in a trade war. Before the Trump administration, we've in 2015, 42% of our new projects into the Lehigh Valley were international-based companies. 42% of new projects. So, as you mentioned, two French projects came in. The Bakerly pastry bakery out of France, which is number one baker in France, has entered the U.S. market and building a plant in Northampton County. And Safran, aeronautics defense contractor,
that's right, yes,
opened up a wheel and an airplane wheel and brake repair division here. And again, a lot of it is because we've got the skilled workforce and the access to market in the northeastern United States.
Well, and you know, we have somewhat of a history, too, because yeah. I'm thinking back in the maybe 80s, Germany
sure.
was relocating a lot of business over here.
Germany is the number one country of, you know, international businesses that are in the Lehigh Valley. For that matter, it's really one of the leading across the United States. You know, places like B. Braun Medical Supply Manufacturer, which is based here in the U.S., their American operation is a German-owned company with, 1,400 employees here making medical devices. Hydac
right.
Is here, Bosch Rexroth.
Right.
Three really large manufacturers that are German-based. In all, there are about 15 German companies based in the United States. Obviously, the cement industry in the Lehigh Valley, which the Lehigh Valley really is the birthplace of cement manufacturing because of the limestone mm-hmm. here, would not really still be here if it wasn't for international ownership, ultimately, of
Absolutely.
Companies that started as American. Every one of the cement mills still operating in the United States, in Lehigh Valley. Are now internationally owned.
That's correct, yeah. Thinking about that. Well, you know, that brings up an interesting point, and I know it's something that LVEDC has been looking at, and you talk about the assets, skilled workforce. You know, if we keep on getting recognized and have these opportunities, can we support the businesses that are coming to the Lehigh Valley, and what can we do to make sure we can?
Yeah. You know, this, I think what you just raised is the number one issue for us going forward. Mm-hmm. It's been one of our biggest assets, our people. Your people will always be your best asset. And the fact that we have a manufacturing history, a good work ethic tradition in the Lehigh Valley is a large reason why we have been able to cross this bridge that a lot of communities have been on, reshoring manufacturing, keeping manufacturing as a big part of our economic base. But you, just like you can't make more land, you can't make more, well, we know how you make more people, but it's a long lead time, right? So, you know, probably 50% of my work right now is trying to, the alignment of our skills development. I'm on the advisory committee of all three of our vocational technical schools that are all very good.
Oh, they're excellent, yeah.
Bethlehem Vo-Tech and CIT down in Easton. We can't do enough in terms of matching our training to where the economy is today. And our Vo-Tech schools, our community colleges are critical in mm-hmm. that process because we're seeing so much growth in industrial and the manufacturing sectors, which require a higher level of skill today than when my father walked out of Liberty High School in 1964 and went down to the Bethlehem Steel Corporation, you know, strong back, good work ethic, here, go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And today, the manufacturing floor requires technical skills, requires trade skills because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's technological. It's not all just sweat anymore. And so we work hard on aligning what we're producing, what's coming out of our schools and skills. But the challenge that you referenced, the numbers game, is the bigger challenge. We are actually in the Lehigh Valley at pretty much full employment in what would be the lower skilled sectors, which is a great problem to have, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
if Let's say, unfortunately, all you did was go to high school or you didn't make it out of high school, which we'd love everybody to go beyond high school, but the reality is that's not going to happen. Because of the explosion of industrial jobs in the e-commerce and logistics sector, we're at full employment at the kind of the lower skilled end of the workforce, which what that translates to is it's really hard to accommodate folks who want to come into the market with big demands for employee numbers.
Right,
right now, today, we have about 92,000 people a day, every day, come into Lehigh and Northampton counties from other counties around us, Carbon, Schuylkill, Monroe, the eastern end of Berks, the northern part of Monco and Bucks, to work. And if it wasn't for those 92,000 people coming in from the two counties outside of us, we couldn't meet demand on a lot of these particularly industrial functions that have emerged in the Lehigh Valley. Final point I'll make there is that the good news is the average wage now for those folks is about $15 an hour, $14, $15 an hour. Nobody's going to get rich, and it's tough. That translates to about $30,000 to $32,000 a year. But for someone who maybe doesn't even have a high school diploma, the alternatives are maybe fast food, maybe retail, you know, shop clerk at the Bon Ton, maybe working in the health system and maintenance or cutting the grass or, you know, mopping the floors, cleaning the rooms. The wages in all of those are much lower.
Right.
So the industrial sector here has driven up basically what is the minimum wage. It's interesting, all this discussion about minimum wage. The minimum wage in the Lehigh Valley, which is market-based, is way higher than even the numbers that people talk about proposing to raise the minimum wage to, you know, $10 an hour, $11 an hour. We're up around $14,
$15. Wow.
And it's growing because of the supply and demand issue for workers.
Wow. And if we're at 100%, you know, I understand that LVEDC has joined forces with workforce development and some other organizations to really, what do you do? Is it more education at high schools, junior high schools? How do you
get
to this?
I mean, so we have created an education and talent supply council that joins the educators, kind of the output, the supply side, you know, from our four-year schools, Lehigh and Lafayette, highly skilled, highly trained, right down to our K through 12 system and our vocational schools, saying, what are we producing and what are the skills that are coming out? And right now we're in the midst of a very deep dive study. We were able to get some state funding support to really assess the demand side, you know, looking at our five targeted sectors of employment in the Lehigh Valley and saying, where are we seeing shortfalls? What are our projections? What skills are employers finding that our workers are lacking? Because the regions that in the country that best figure this out and present this data will be the ones that will continue to grow. There's a real challenge that's on the horizon in America, and that is a shortage of workers and a shortage of skills. And so it's just a demographics numbers game. With the retirement of the baby boomers and the numbers that were in the workforce, the number of younger people entering the workforce don't match up.
Right.
Lower birth rates in America, growth of jobs and not workers to fill them. There's an estimate across the country, the National Manufacturers Association says about 200,000 manufacturing jobs a year go unfilled in America for lack of workers with the right skills to do it. The challenge here becomes a national policy one, which is, as I see it, there's only three ways to create more workers. We kind of laughed about the first one, which was to make more people, and it takes 9 months and another 18 years after that, right?
Long-term
goal. So it really becomes immigration and migration. And I think the country really has to square up on an immigration policy. The industrial booms, the industrial booms in America have always been fueled by people coming to our shores. We simply don't have enough Americans to staff what's coming forward. Now, I realize that's a dangerous thing to say. And the second piece, what I talked about, is migration, because we talked earlier. What's happened in America is there are manufacturing and industrial kind of zones now, but the people live all splayed about in every village and hamlet and rural, you know, Pennsylvania and America. is that we need to think about a policy of getting people to where the work is, because right. they're unemployed Americans, even in Pennsylvania. And then rural America, and yeah. then there you get a place like the Lehigh Valley, where, you know, we lost a big recruitment of a United Kingdom retailer that wanted 1,400 workers in 18 months. That was, you know, narrowed their search to us in Georgia, outside the Atlanta region, and they weren't confident that they could find 1,400 workers in the Lehigh Valley in the time period that they wanted. And they chose Atlanta. And there's nothing somebody in my position can do to solve that. You literally need more people.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's an interesting issue, and it's where national policy really does have a direct linkage to, you know, economic local growth yeah. and what's happening here.
So
and there's no easy solutions. I realize that.
But. So we can't live in a vacuum or a bubble, because everything just interrelates. I mean, you think about it sort of on a global basis, yeah. And people are just sort of getting adjusted to it. But you really need to think broadly today.
Well, protectionism, I mean, building walls around your country only works if you've got all the resources within your walls. You know,
yeah.
right?
That's right?
I mean,
right.
it only works if you've got a full resources of people, natural resources, whether it's oil and gas or, you know, agricultural products. You're only fortunate enough to build walls around your country if you can completely supply what you need, which is simply not the case.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. Well, one of the things that may happen is artificial intelligence may come into the mix somehow as we go forward and take yes. some of that opportunity for some of those positions, but even so, that's not going to fill them.
Well, I think you make a good point, and that's an interesting part of the discussion, because whether it's AI, artificial intelligence, or whether it's technology and robotics, you know, right now we went from 15,000-16,000 people working in transportation, warehouse, logistics just 5 years ago to about 24,000 people today. So we added almost 10,000 jobs
wow.
in 5 years' time. I mean, that's unheard of, right? And that, you know, that may level off and drop off based on robotics.
Well, listeners, we're going to take another quick break. I mean, as you can tell, there's a lot of information here, so please stay with us. Our guest this evening is Don Cunningham, President and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. We'll be back after this short break. This is Sally Hanlon of Lehigh Valley Discourse.
In 2017, WDIY is celebrating 22 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit wdiy.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
Welcome back. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And my guest this evening is Don Cunningham, President and CEO of Lehigh Valley Economic Development Corporation. And we've been talking about all sorts of things Lehigh Valley tonight. When we took this last break, we were in the midst of talking about talent and skilled labor and the ability of the Lehigh Valley to continue to grow and to have that present for those businesses that want to come in the valley. So you have this talent supply group that you mentioned, Don. Let's talk a little bit more about that and your challenges.
Yeah. Well, one of the roles of LVEDC, aside from, you know, talking about what's going on here, marketing our assets and working on recruitment, is in-market strategies, right? So mm-hmm. for 70% of our new jobs in the Lehigh Valley are created organically by companies that are already here mm-hmm. or that are starting here and growing here. So it's really important. Only that it's a good situation to have that 30% of our jobs are coming from companies that are entering our market. A lot of regions don't have that, but still the majority of our job creation is coming from companies here. So it's very important that we work on kind of corralling or connecting the resources of the Lehigh Valley to work on regional solutions, mm-hmm. to work on trying to help solve problems regionally for the companies that are here. And as we've been talking, this Education and Talent Supply Council is really an outgrowth of that function, which is us working with the Workforce Development Board, as I mentioned earlier, all of our educators, our school districts, our vocational technical schools, and a cross-section of our companies to try to come up with, first of all, you've got to have awareness. You have to have data and understanding of what's going on in your backyard and move away from the anecdotal,
right?
And just the, you know, somebody grabbing you and saying, I'm having a hard time with this, and get. So we're in the midst right now of what is about a $100,000 study of a deep data dive, if you will, on what makes up exactly the workforce of the Lehigh Valley. What are the skills of workers? How many jobs do we have in each sector and pocket? And where are we coming up short? And conversely, maybe where do we have an oversupply? Because that's something we can market for. Like, for example, if we're turning out, you know, a whole lot of engineers from Lehigh and Lafayette, and those kids are moving on to other markets because there's more engineering opportunities there. That gives me something by which to recruit engineering companies, and which we try to do. And in this fall, we will be able to deliver the preliminary findings of the study and to the community. And really what my goal here is just to provide information and understanding, and then let the marketplace do some of its work around our skills gap.
Let me ask you something, Don. When I hear talent, supply, and skills, I mean, my mind immediately goes to the high school graduation, the college graduation. What about the worker that's already out in the field and, you know, maybe needs an opportunity to tune up their skills or find, baby boomers. I mean, they're looking for second careers. I mean, so is that a part of that?
Well, that's an excellent observation, because that kind of connects back to what we were talking about earlier about the shortages of skills, is that the single most important thing that people could do for themselves, even if they're gainfully employed, is think about upskilling themselves, right? So if you're working at a logistics center and you're picking and packing and you're relatively comfortable because you're making $15 or $16 an hour, there is a threat, as you mentioned earlier, down the road that potentially robotics may take away your job. So now would be the time to think about, could I go back to, you know, the community college at night, or even the vocational technical schools have adult programs at night that might teach you mechatronics, might teach you welding.
What
might
is
teach
mechatronics?
Well, so mechatronics is really a kind of a broad-based term that refers to mechanical electronics, which is really how a lot of the manufacturing shop floors run now, which is an understanding of the machines that make products, generally the electronics behind it and the mechanics behind it, to be either the programmer or the person that's running the equipment on the shop floor.
Okay. Thank you.
And yeah, I shouldn't use the lingo words, but and that's really important. You mentioned maybe workers, baby boomer, you know, workers in their 50s or 60s that want to keep working, that want to, and you know, as a region, we want to make sure we're supplying training for re-education and upskilling. And that will certainly be part of the data that comes out. But people should take advantage of any opportunities that are out there to drive up their skills.
Yeah. Well, and I think in this day and age, I know when I talk to some of the college presidents and such, you know, careers that we know of today will probably not exist in 5 years, or we don't know what careers will exist in 10 years. So unless you're continually increasing your knowledge and abilities, you're going to be left behind.
It's exciting and it's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's scary in thinking that, you know, this, we live in this, the kind of, I don't know if you could still call it the beginning, but the advent of this technological revolution that will be looked at in the history books much the same way as now we look back at the Industrial Revolution and the processes that were put in place for steel manufacturing or, you know, any of those industries. Today is, who knows where this is going to be in 10 years. And, you know, there's if you look at, listen to the futurists and the people who are thinking about the work of tomorrow, that the day is going to come where we have more people than we have jobs because machines and robotics are going to do all the work. That may or may not come true. It's a scary kind of thought.
Hell may not be in our future.
Right. yeah. But, you know, our goal here in the Lehigh Valley, I think, with this initiative is really just to understand into the to move away from the anecdotal, to get down to data and empirically understand what's taking place out there. And the best as we can, look ahead, you know, and it's hard to look ahead. It's like any economist or even any weather forecaster, you know, sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't. But if you're not at least thinking about it, you're going to be behind.
Absolutely. Now, in addition to talent and skill, is there any other strategic issue that the Lehigh Valley is facing as you look forward?
Yeah, I mean, so we've spent a lot of time talking about the industrial and manufacturing sector, and, you know, manufacturing is clearly remains this kind of golden ring that everybody tries to grab and continuing to have it as a large part of its economic base. But we spend a lot of time at LVDC in trying to grow other sectors, and some of them are, you know, life sciences and biotech, which we have seen growth in, and this gets into innovation, it gets into entrepreneurship, it gets into development with in partnership with Ben Franklin and others that are, you know, trying to grow businesses that are requiring, you know, chemical engineers and scientists and so forth, that I think, you know, we are ripe for growth in this area. We've seen some of it. I mean, obviously you've got the, you know, the classic story of Orishore Technologies, which is, you know, came out of Mike Gosling's efforts at, which incubated out of Ben Franklin and now is, you know, has the patent on the saliva-based HIV test and has developed saliva-based testing for Ebola
and Zika.
And is manufacturing, you know, medical diagnostic kits here on Old Bethlehem Steel Land. You know, we've seen growth in that area, but I think there's a lot of potential for more.
Okay.
So we spend time in that cluster trying to talk to biolife sciences and technology companies and talking about, you know, these assets we have at Lehigh. You know, also, I don't want to leave behind continuing growth of our downtown urban areas, which is a priority of ours, which is a lot based around kind of your classic professional office growth. I mean, we haven't been as robust in the Lehigh Valley as in the industrial and manufacturing sectors, but the opportunity, I believe, is endless. I mean, we're 80 miles out of Manhattan, where a lot of corporate headquarters are, even North Jersey, where there are a lot of corporate headquarters, Philadelphia. And while we struggle to land a lot of corporate headquarters because generally across the United States there are about 25 to 30 large city markets that most corporations will look at as to fly the flag, is to have the CEO, have the president. Obviously, we'd love to have the CEOs and the presidents and the corporate headquarters, and we try for that. But short of that, you look at the example of Guardian Insurance. Mm-hmm. So Guardian Insurance last year, and we worked with them, built about almost a 300,000 square foot office. They have 1,500 employees, which a lot of people don't realize. They consolidated five regional offices into a center, which is their corporate headquarters is on Wall Street in Manhattan, but 80 miles away in the Lehigh Valley, they have their largest office in the United States with 1,500 workers. Now, those are people working in IT, HR, all the support services, accounting for the corporate office, because you've got more space. You can consume more space in the office at a cheaper price, and you're an hour and a half drive from headquarters. So a lot of folks who work here in the Lehigh Valley for Guardian, 2 days a week they're in Manhattan, but 3 days a week they're doing their work out of Hanover Township.
It's a beautiful facility.
Hanover County. It's and those are the type of jobs in the insurance sector, in the finance sector. We're spending a lot of time right now with pharma, trying to recruit some pharma operations, even if it's not production, R&D, sales, the things around that, that we want to come in here, that we want them to know about the Lehigh Valley, not just as a manufacturing center, but as a good place, good quality of life, urban life, good restaurants, you know, good nightlife, good entertainment, good arts for workers that, you know, put on a suit and tie or whatever. Not everybody wears a suit and tie anymore, but, you know, in the professional office sector. So that's a big target of ours strategically.
And the quality of life.
And we need those folks to fill, you know, downtown Allentown, downtown Bethlehem, Southside Bethlehem, Easton, you know, because in addition to people living in the downtowns and utilizing the restaurants and the amenities, you want new workers, and you want workers with disposable income.
Wow. Very interesting.
It's a lot of, you know, the other big sector for us that we didn't touch on that we spend a lot of time on is food and beverage. You know, we've become a national center on the East Coast for production of, you know, brand name food and beverage, and a lot of that is because in the Lehigh Valley we are a 6-hour drive to 40% of the consumers of the United States. If you think about it, here, if you go north in 6 hours, you're going to be above Boston. If you go south, you're going to be below Richmond. And if you go west, you're going to be outside of Pennsylvania into Ohio and into the Midwest, Great Lakes states. So it's an excellent spot to move product from. What we've kind of upsold companies on is if it's a great place to move product from, it's an even better place to make it here and then move it from here, which is why you've seen, you know, Ocean Spray come over here. Boston Beer, the makers of Sam Adams, have their largest brewery in America here because they make it here and distribute it out. Quick access to 40% of the consumers, to the point now where Lehigh County, of the 67 counties in Pennsylvania, Lehigh County has more national beverage producers than any county in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And
Nestle Waters just announced a big expansion. Coca-Cola in Upper Macungie makes all of their non-soda products, all of their water-based sports drinks that's distributed from Maine to North Carolina is made in Upper Macungie. Some of that comes back to what you mentioned earlier, Sally, the water resources, water and wastewater resources for food and beverage production are here. So that, you know, that's a big area for us strategically as well. Quite honestly, we spend very little time on e-commerce and logistics, and, you know, we help a little bit around the edges. It's not even one of our target sectors. It's happening market-based. You know, the market's driving it, and it's very good for us. But, you know, there's so much demand. It's not something we invest strategic time in.
Okay. So over the past 5 years, happy anniversary. You've been at LVEDC five years now.
Thank you. It was my five-year anniversary month.
Yes. Mm. So what did you come in with a vision that, you know, after 5 years looking back, were you able to sort of stay on track, or was it completely different what you anticipated? Yeah. How has that been over the past 5 years?
Well, I mean, my first biggest job coming into LVDC, I had been around LVDC and on the board really since its inception. Not on the board since its inception, but around in one capacity or another. And I always believed in this idea that even though I was a Bethlehem guy and I was the mayor of Bethlehem and my job back then was revitalize Bethlehem, that the pathway for the Lehigh Valley was the strength of the region. That as our component parts, we were only so strong. Mm-hmm. Both with resources, you're only going to find so much money to market Allentown or Bethlehem, that you needed this collective to do it. And that economic strategies, by their very nature, are regional or statewide or national, as we've been talking about. So you couldn't really have these localized economic strategies. So I always believed that LVDC was this great concept, and it was the right way to go about this. But I equally felt that the organization had never really realized its potential, that it wasn't functioning as it was envisioned, that it had bumps in the road and just had not realized its full potential. So really my first honestly 2.5 years, and you were part of it as, you know, as a great board member, you know, was to make the organization work, to do what it was created to do, you know, to really fine tune it. And then the last 2.5 years has been, you know, I think we got it running right, and now it's executing on it.
Yeah, now it's sort of keeping up with
it. Yeah, and, you know, for tomorrow, where do we go? I think it's to move beyond just what's happening market-based, right? I mean, it's great that the market's kind of driving this growth, and to kind of tweak the market and move into some of these areas I've just been talking about. You know, I'd like to see us 5-10 years out have a bigger bio-life sciences sector. I'd like to see us have even more growth in the professional office and insurance and headquarters arena. So there's a lot more that can be worked on.
Well, we'll have to bring you back in 2 years and see where you are. I'm part of that.
Yeah.
Listeners, I'm hoping that you got as much information and enjoyment out of this as I have speaking here with Don. If you're interested in learning more about LVEDC and what's going on, there's a website that they really keep up to date. It's lehighvalley.org.
Yes.
And
you can sign up for a weekly e-newsletter, which gives you like the top 4 or 5 things that are going on in development in the economy every week, once a week.
And it gives you some numbers. And so it lets you know exactly what's happening in the Lehigh Valley and quite honestly, how well we're doing. I mean, sometimes we don't know what's in our own backyard. And this is very helpful for us, especially as we speak to people outside the Lehigh Valley as to really who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So, Don, we have about a minute left. Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to be aware of before we close this evening's show?
You know, I would just close where I started and when I talked about the uniqueness of the Lehigh Valley, and I've been here all my life, is that we're not a suburb of anywhere. We have our own economy. We have our own authentic culture, our own cities. And I think the key for us is to keep it that way. You know, we have to interconnect, obviously, with the rest of the state and the rest of the country, but we have something unique and special in our region and in our component parts that, you know, we have to be respectful of, that we don't want to lose as we go forward.
Terrific. Don, thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to be here and to share this update with our listeners. This wraps up our session. Thank you for joining us this evening. This is Sally Hanlon, your community host on WDIY 88.1 FM, the Lehigh Valley's NPR station.